Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello friends, we're back again. It's Fightful. Welcome in. It's Thursday, July 17th, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl, thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. And it's time for your TNA Impact post show. It is the go home show to Slammiversary. And folks, get ready to fly, because if you stuck around for the Marvel finish to tonight's episode, and if you've been, you know, reading all the articles and listening to interviews and paying attention to Sean Ross Sapp talking to Carlos Silva, the president of TNA Wrestling, it's over on our channel, by the way. There's been a lot of talk lately about a certain phenomenal one showing up this Sunday at Slammiversary. All that and more, because God knows there was enough going on tonight on the go-home episode of TNA Impact. With me, as always, my ride or die. She wants to know something at her first TNA show ever this weekend. My God, I'm blowing her spot. The one and only Cresta Starr is here. How you doing?
Guys, I'm excited, but I have a headache. I was telling this to Joel, so we're getting quiet, Cresta. Librarian Cresta, do you want to know something? I do. I'm so excited for Slammiversary this Sunday. I've been making fun of TNA for throwing it in the seance circle to summon AJ Styles, and we did it, Reddit. And my first show, if he doesn't show up after literally showing his gear, I think I might crash out.
I mean, it'd be very funny. I said this on the internet. I said, AJ Francis has the opportunity to do the funniest thing. And attached to it wasn't a photo of AJ Francis. It was AJ Swoggle.
Who's that? Is that Hornswoggle? AJ Styles?
That's AJ Styles dressed as Hornswoggle. Were we doing the show when this happened? I don't think we were. I think this was during the pandemic. Are you familiar with this scene that they did?
No, but now I'm laughing internally because I can imagine it low key.
Good Brothers were teasing a phenomenal arrival, and then it turned out that they had dressed up Hornswoggle like AJ Francis. Or sorry, like AJ Styles. Although now I want to see Swoggle dressed up as AJ Francis, because I think that would be very funny too.
That would be incredibly funny. The oxymoron of it all. And also, very good brothers of them. AJ, legally distinct. Not phenomenal. Fantastic one. Also legally distinct. Fantastic one.
The wee nominal one.
That's good. That's good.
Also a good one is leaving a thumbs up on the video. Subscribe to us here at Fightful. You can subscribe over at Fightful Select, the best $5.99 in the business. We've got the scoops. We got the threads. We've got everything you need. All the exclusives, all the content. Everyone's going to aggregate it. I get it. But we're going to do it right, because we are the ones from whom they aggregate. We get the messaging right. We get the articles and the information right before someone else tries to use a different word just to tell you they're not, you know, writing off your homework. Okay. FightfulSelect.com is the best. $5.99 in the business. There is a free tier. There is an a la carte option if you want to go ahead and get just the information you want. Maybe you just subscribe to one specific wrestling company from whom you are a fan. Maybe you just want TNA news. You can get it there a la carte. Maybe you just want WWE or AEW or indie news, or maybe you just want the podcast. Maybe you want the Weekender with Steven Jensen, who will be with me on Sunday for the Slammiversary post show while Cresta Star goes and enjoys her own Slammiversary experience. It'll just be Jensen and I, and that's fine. But if you want the Weekender, which covers the best in independent wrestling, you can go ahead and get that over on Fightful Select, the best, $5.99 in the business. And of course, you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or your statement read on the air. And of course, there's a Humper Chat in your future, and Cress is going to tell you all about it.
All right, guys, listen up. Librarian Cresta here to tell you about HumperChats.com. Yes, HumperChats.com, where you can donate. It's like a super chat, but you can donate and we get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. You put your comment in the comment box along with your donation in the donation box over on HumperChats.com. Me and Joel will read it out just the same, and it's a guaranteed way to get you in on the conversation. Did I mention it's HumperChats.com?
Bing. That's for the eye wink. I got you.
Thanks, friendo. Also, my camera looks like it's giving up the ghost on YouTube. I don't know what's going on, guys. Thank you for letting me be the AI.
Yeah, this week you're definitely giving AI Cresta.
It's giving Kate. Kate's internet got me this week.
My God. You're gonna have to compare notes. It's whenever you do a show with her. Anyone who does a show with Kate, your internet automatically gets infected.
What can I do?
It's very impressive, but somehow she finds a way.
She should run for president.
Seems better than what you're doing now. Anyway, overall, what do you think of tonight's go home to Slammiversary episode of Impact?
I think that now that I've been watching TNA long enough, I think I could say this with my chest. There are two types of go home TNA shows. The type where they're like, holy crap, we didn't build, quick, throw everything at the wall and it's extremely good. And the, you know what you're going for, everyone's relaxing. And this tonight was the latter. We had two really good matches, one of which I begrudgingly want to say that it was good, and it was a Tessa Blanchard-Danny Luna match. And outside of that, this was just a lot of talking, a lot of yakking, and Dark State. So, what did you think about the show tonight, Joel?
I agree 100% with what you said, because I'm just thinking to myself, TNA is in a really weird situation because of the NXT partnership. Tuesday's episode of NXT felt like more of a go-home show to Slammiversary than mm-hmm. tonight's show. And that's just by virtue of NXT being live and TNA being a taped show. So they, being TNA, had to get very creative with how they told the stories, knowing we had to do some stuff that's live and put out some stuff on socials and some stuff that can be on TV, but couldn't tell you everything. Things like JC Jane. When they taped the show, Evolution hadn't happened. This was the end of June. So they had to get a way to tell you, well, JC's most likely the challenger, but then WWE had JC versus Jordan with the winner going on to face Masha this weekend. So they had to play it in a certain way. And like, I give everyone props for trying it, but it really does feel like when they're going into a show like this and the integration with NXT is getting more and more involved, they almost have to do the live show as the go home. And then this almost serves as the sneak preview of the last things you're going to see. Like, doing a tag match is a pretty normal, like, main event into a pay-per-view scenario for TNA. Uh-huh. So I expected this. I expected to see, you know, Hendry and Santana versus Kazarian and Trick. It's just something that they do. They do it before the going into a show and coming out of a show. So it wasn't a bad episode by any means. It was fine. It just was. Yeah. So it didn't blow me away. But what I will tell you that I really enjoyed, remember that YouTube thing I told you about, how it, you know, everywhere except for Canada, when they're showing it on YouTube?
Yes.
This week, somebody didn't click off the Canada button, so I was able to watch it on YouTube again.
Got him.
And I was so happy to do that, because if you know how I do my wrestling watching, I was so much happier to be able to do it my way. People who watch In the Weeds know exactly how I consume wrestling and how I do my notes. So this made for a much more calm, cool, easy episode of Impact for me to review and for me to write notes on. And for that, thank you, TNA. Your screw up is my gain.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Well, I'm sure no one's going to give him any shit about it. Anyway, shall we move on to talk about the show itself?
Let's get into it, Palerini Cappuccini.
Remember, folks, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, and that's going to guard this conversation. Not guard it, it'll guide it. So come and guide it with us. We open up with Moose defeating Sami Callihan. Sammy's bald again.
I mean, everywhere's getting bald chance, and bald is in. I will shave my head bald in solidarity.
I thought it looks better. No? You sure?
If we get $1 million in super chats on this show, and then $44,444 into my personal bank account on this stream live right now, I will shave my eyebrows and my head.
How much is the eyebrow portion of this?
$44,444.
Okay, but what if it's just the hair that we want?
$44,444.
So this is like a tandem thing.
Yeah, so this, that you got to do that, but that has to be paid personally to me. But if you want me to do it on stream for Fightful, you have to pay Fightful $1 million. See, I got to give you guys a cut. I'm not greedy. I'm giving you the bigger cut, operational costs and all that.
You put a lot of value on your hair.
I don't, but I know y'all do, so. Every other week, my hair is purple, green, orange, red, blue. So it doesn't matter, baby. How much are you willing to pay for it?
Well, not my money.
If we're going to microtransaction, let's make it worth everybody's while.
Good for you. Shoot for the stars. The match is not very long. There's good early near fall from Sammy to get the crowd invested. But sure enough, quick squash, get the spear. We're out. Post-match, Moose grabs the microphone and berates Sammy, calls him fat, says he's got a great mind for the business, so he can stay, just stay in the back. Which I'm like, all right, not the first time I've heard that. I like Sammy Callihan. I think he's been a great wrestler for TNA. He does have an incredible mind for the business. Pro Wrestling Revolver, that's his bread and butter. That is his baby. If you watch their program, Wrestling Revolver has really good stories going, and that's Sammy's thing. So he's right. Sammy, I think, would also be the first to tell you that he is much more suited to be the mind of a professional wrestling company than he is the ring or the athlete in the ring at this point. That's fine. So he tells him to leave, and then Sammy starts to, you know, tease, taking his boots off, and then he leaves the ring, and that brings out the system because they're supposed to have their match against Order 4. It doesn't start, which I couldn't tell you this last week because I know you were excited for it. But of course, I know this because they tape the shows and I do read the spoilers, but I try to at least be cool about it. It never starts. I try to be. Dark State arrives. They beat up the system as Order 4 watches from the stage, and then they just walk away. What do you think of this whole thing from Moose to Order 4 to Dark State and all in between?
For a hot second, I was sold into Sami Callihan and Moose actually having a match. I was wrong. I mean, I got a match, but it is what it is. It's the building to Sammiversary and his match with Leon Slater. Sami Callihan is one of those people in TNA that you rarely feel bad for because he's gross. On so many levels, he's gross. He spits at people. He does death matches. Pretty sure he sleeps in the garbage can. But yo, calling him fat over and over again, I kind of felt really bad for him. He said, what are you still doing in this damn ring? Get out of, matter of fact, take off your boots. And then Sammy looked like he was about to cry. I was like, wait a minute, not the death machine. That was unnecessary roughness. 20 yards on Moose. That was unnecessary. What are we doing with Dark State? I want to believe. I want to believe, you know, I believe whatever. But I've been down this road before with many a faction just attacking people and there's no rhyme or reason. You're just a MacGuffin. I want there to be something. I'm holding out faith. But both TNA and WWE have done this before where you've given me a handshake and not even the hot dog. So
Order 4 was brought into TNA to make an impact. They didn't. They've been a little bit rudderless. And once the cool factor wore off, not that there really ever was one on Dark State, they moved them over to TNA. And like I said from the get-go, part of the NXT portion of working with TNA is that they can send some talent who aren't quite TV ready for NXT over to another territory to work where they know they're safe and they know the production is there and they know that there is a certain expectation with how to work. Dark State is basically doing that for this particular run. So they send them over to NXT. They get to work with a lot of really talented veteran guys. Like, let's not forget, this is JDC, Edward Edwards, Brian Myers, and Matt Cardona. They get to work with four tenured, long-term wrestlers who have very good chemistry, very good wrestling acumen. And on top of all of that, can help Dark State get over, whether they win or lose, give them a good match. So there's a level of trust there in the talent that Dark State's working with and the fact that they can make Dark State look good as a result of this. So with that, like, I understand what the benefit is, but they're not really giving Dark State much more than just four guys who show up and beat people up.
You know, this would be a good time for Crazy Steve to stab someone with a fork.
They just did forks last Sunday in Texas.
Let me ask you something. This is TNA. It's not about fork limits.
They don't do that anymore. Remember, they got rid of all the blood.
Oh, man. That's poppycock.
I thought they were going to turn this into a hardcore match, this system and Dark State match.
I think maybe they should, but who's going to be taking the blood besides Eddie Edwards? Oh, Matt Cardona.
Yeah, they'll all do it. It's just, I don't know if they it's not a match that warrants it at this point because there are no other matches on the card that warrant going for blood. Even the main event is like, it's pretty
tame.
It's pretty tame. Like, it's for the title. There are no real, like, blood matches. Like, there's no got to beat them up. You could maybe get something out of the ladder match, but other than that, it's pretty straightforward wrestling card, which we'll talk about towards the end of the show.
I think maybe you could get blood out of JC Jane, because that's just Masha Slamovich special.
You'll get it out of her nose, most likely, because that's not a knock at JC Jane. It's just that it feels like every time JC goes hard, she inevitably like breaks a portion of her nose. It's just, she gets a bloody nose. I don't know what it is. It's just inevitable.
Her nose is like, oh shit, here we go again.
Again, not a knock at JC. It's just look at the last few matches. Just she gets a bloody nose.
Wrestling is a tough business. It'd be like that sometimes.
That's right. Dani Luna loses her match to Tessa Blanchard. Luna's such a great powerhouse wrestler. She's so fantastic. I'm hoping that this gives her more opportunities. And this is what's more frustrating. I said in my writing, and more Jody threat. What I didn't want is what they seem to be teasing. And that is, well, let's get through the end of this. Victoria Crawford gets involved and Tessa wins. The post-match, Indy helps. That just kind of, that's how it ends. Indy tells Tessa that she hasn't known her in 6 years, and then at Slammiversary, she's going to get to know her again. Bitch. And then later on, Jody finds Danny, and Danny's upset that Jody didn't show up sooner to help. It's like, well, Indy's here. If they're teasing a Jody threat and Dani Luna thing, like, come on, man. What? Just because they broke up, because they were forced to break up because they lost a match. Why are we trying to tease this dissension? Why can't they just be friends who push each other as singles competitors until they have to fight each other for supremacy? Why are we doing this stupid, the team broke up, now they have to fight each other because there's some sort of dissension? Like, there is no dissension. Jody found out late. Danny's upset. Cooler head should prevail in this case, and they should just go on being friends. I think it's horseshit to do it this way.
I also see it as an excuse not to put Dani in the main event scene, because I said this when she had her matches with Jordan and her other matches with Masha. One thing TNA is really good at is having a good power, two power women at the top. Dani Luna could absolutely fill that spot. Regardless about how I feel about Ms. Blanchard, this match was phenomenal. This match was really good tonight. And it reminded me again of, why aren't we seeing Dani Luna on the TV more? Why aren't we having that? I like you said, Jody Threat, leave that girl alone. Indy Hartwell was there. And to me, this was a match, much like the match with Moose and Sami Callihan, to set up Tessa Blanchard with momentum going into Slammiversary up against Indy Hartwell. And that's completely fine. But I don't think Dani Luna and Jody Threat need to break up more, considering, if you've been watching the product, Danny Luna's like, I don't need nobody. I'm going to make y'all remember I'm by myself. So then be by yourself. You can't be mad at me because I came out when I did. And Indy Hartwell came and got you. It's not like you got beat up more. So knock it off. I don't know, man. To me, this just seems like a way to keep her away from the main event. And men don't like that.
It is a little strange. I do agree. I agree with that. I also want to point out, why is Victoria Crawford, who is, I could probably just end the sentence there and then people would understand. Why is Victoria Crawford, who is a bad guy, who is a heel, why is she wearing Pittsburgh Steelers attire when they are wrestling in Pittsburgh?
Oh, I'm not a sports fan, baby. I don't know. Maybe it's a rib. I don't know. Maybe.
It's not, though. That's the thing. That's what really bugged me. I was like, you're in Pittsburgh. Like, you're in like a suburb of Pittsburgh. But like, there are Steelers fans in the audience. Like, why are you wearing the team colors when you're not, like, you're a bad guy? What were you thinking?
Did the Steelers lose recently? I don't know anything.
They're perennial losers, but it's not even about that. Even if you have a lovable loser team, like, people will still cheer on your team. Like, you were a Knicks fan once upon a time, and when the Knicks were bad, it's just saying that once upon a time, like, people were cheering on the Knicks. They did it now, and then they fired their coach, but not important. The fact is, if someone shows up to whatever sports event you're at and they're wearing Knicks attire, like, if Hometown Man somehow shows up at Slammiversary for some reason, which I hope he doesn't, he'd be wearing probably not a Knicks jersey because they're going to be at UBS. He'd be wearing Islanders gear, and that would also confuse people. Anyway,
it'd probably still be like blue and orange. That's New York's colors for whatever reason.
Yeah, he'll wear a Mets jersey. He'd probably just wear the Islanders colors because that's where the Islanders play, at UBS. The Islanders are that's the hockey team. I'm telling you. I'm not asking questions. I'm telling you.
And I'm agreeing. I'm putting my hands up saying, you got it, pal.
Anyway, the point of all this is to say Victoria Crawford should know better. But for some reason, they still had her do this. And she's the heel. It just bugged me from like I watch the show and people know better perspective. You know, you've been in the business a long time. Anyway, apparently 3 weeks ago, the Inspiration were attacked by the Elegant Sisters at a signing. And we couldn't be asked to find out until literally tonight. That's what led to this tag match at Slammiversary that we knew was coming, but we were never told why, other than the fact that the Inspiration want the tag titles. So apparently that was the reason. 3 weeks ago, they got attacked, and now they had to come and apologize. So the Elegant Sisters has come out. And Ash is upset that nobody's talking about her because she's actually the number one contender for the Knockouts title because she won that thing, the Battle Royal in that first week.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, don't worry. A lot of people did. And then a Fatal Influence come out and they're like, we had no problem with you until now when you said you were the dominant team in TNA. And JC's like, well, I'll show you, Ash by Elegance, after I win at Slammiversary. And then Masha Slamovich comes out, the Elegance is leave, and then Masha, who, by the way, she is from New York. This is the other thing that's really bugging me about this build, Cresta. She is from New York. She is billed from Russia, but it's well established that Masha Slamovich is from New York, and they never played up her New York roots. They'll spend all day and Saturday building up Bronx boy Santana, but they won't give Masha that one little New York minute. It's absolutely bonkers. She says, I see the scars that make me a champion, and I won't let an outsider take my title. All of this, we got the tag title match, and then we've got this whole Elegance and the Fatal Influence and JC and Masha. What do you think of all this stuff?
Well, I'm going to start from the backwards up. As far as them repping Masha from New York, specifically Brooklyn, as a Bronx girl, I don't care about no Brooklyn. So that's what y'all get. New York City has weird beef, and Bronx and Brooklyn are always going to have weird beef. That also being said, I can't speak for Brooklyn, but I don't know how I would feel if this person's like, oh, I'm repping Brooklyn. You're not, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I do think it's a little odd, but they're repping Mike Santana, so that's none of my business. Second of all, you know, why not with the Elegance brand and the Inspiration? Why not? That's where I'm at with this. Why not? And then what, you going to be champ, young lady? The Knockouts Women Championship and Masha? I just thought it was funny when she said, I don't do drama. You just called out these girls and Masha. But now when the girl says, I would like to fight you, you're like, oh, I don't do drama. I actually go to leave.
That ruled. Again, I love that the elegances are so unserious about everything.
Like, if unserious was a wrestler, there's a few wrestlers I could think of, and the Elegance brand is also at the top of that list. Followed the Ricochet is on top of them, because Ricochet is incredibly unserious right now.
Yeah, and he is definitely, yeah, I agree, at the top of that list. He's the guy.
He's bigger. There's somebody else who's more unserious, but I can't think of their name right now. But Ricochet, if he's not number one, he's number two. I'm sure. Drop in the comments who in TNA is the most unserious wrestler, and they'll say hometown man, because that's meant to be unserious.
I will, you know, y'all know my feelings about hometown man. I don't care who it's for. It's not for anyone who's worth a damn. Getting your super chats, getting your humper chats. Talk to us. How are you feeling about Slammiversary? Are you excited? Are you ready to fly? What are you feeling going into Sunday? We want to know. Speaking of hometown man, unfortunately, he defeats Judas Icarus, the new Prestige Wrestling World Champion, by the way, defeated your best pal, Mr. Yambag Shuffle himself, Alan Angels.
Did he get pinned by hometown man here?
No. And then he got pinned by hometown man. How is that? I hate it here.
You know, I don't normally advocate for violence, but Dina, you might be getting stabbed in your future. It's karma. It's karma, pal. You know, I why not?
Why not?
Why not? Why not? Why not?
Well, you know what? You'd think that he'd be able to, he beat Alan Angels. He's probably just let it be there, but it was non-title, so it doesn't matter. The Prestige World title was not on the line. Hometown Man won. And then after the match, EY tries to catch Hometown Man, who escapes through the crowd, and then people stop Eric Young from going after Hometown Man. This should be a pre-show match, but it sounds like they're just going to run it at the live show the following Thursday.
I mean, I would do that too. I wouldn't put this on the pre-show either. To me, this is a TV storyline, just for TV storyline, unless we're doing something with Diener coming back, or you could Grande Americano it and just start changing the person underneath. I personally vote for Moose at least one time so I could laugh.
Sucks. Speaking of sucks, wow, we are just getting through a sucky part of this show.
I mean, it is what it is. We all have eyes. We all saw what we saw.
Well, Fourth Rope is back. Enzo Amore is back. NWO Enzo. And he's still doing it. They're ripping off a 30-year-old trope 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, and he's bringing two big dudes, brother. He's already told us. He says he's going to bring Zilla Fatu as the current Fourth Rope champ. And then he says a bishop. Now, I want people to understand it is not Bishop Dyer that they're talking about. It's not the former Baron Corbin. It's not Tom Pestick. It's Josh Bishop, who TNA fans will remember actually showed up last year at Slammiversary to help AJ Francis in his match against PCO. He was the tall, jacked, Sid Vicious looking dude.
Yes, I remember him.
Was Josh Bishop, who is also a former Fourth Rope champion. So he was working with TNA before an injury derailed him, and he got bigged up by Fourth Rope. So he was big there. So yeah, Zilla, Josh Bishop, they are the people who are coming with Enzo to do
stuff.
Well, here's the problem. The next segment, much like last week, is a Steve Macklin segment. And you don't just puzzle those things together for nothing, Cresta. Last week, the Fourth Rope video was after Macklin did his title retention match. And then this week, after the Fourth Rope video, it was the Macklin segment, promo, whatever, we're backstage. And it's just random. And it's random. So don't... reading tea leaves, people. He'll take on anyone, anywhere, internationally, anytime, from anywhere. And he says he's holding the line. And he still doesn't have an opponent for Slammiversary. And God knows he should. Free my man, Steve. Free Steve, okay? Just please put us out of our misery. Don't make him face Enzo. Tommy Dreamer, I know you're not watching. I know you've heard me say things about the show that you work on in the mornings. Don't do this. Don't do this to anyone. Don't do this. Josh Bishop, if you do Josh Bishop and Steve Macklin, that might be fun. Don't do the other two. Just don't. I wanted Jake something, but if you're going to give me another big, meaty dude, give me Joshua Bishop against Steve Macklin. Now, I know there are a lot of people who are asking you for things this weekend, Dreamer. And I know that you're a reasonable man. So I'm asking you, do that. And do the other thing so that Tenruza doesn't have to send me super chats saying, here's to the Joel TNA Review Retirement Fund.
Damn, I'll be by my all by myself. I gotta be honest with you guys. I never got to see the whole Enzo Amore hype train live. So this is my first time seeing it live. Man, there's a lot of AEW references in this.
Oh yeah, doing the all-in thing. But so
and I laugh because it's like, Cresta, he was doing this back in the day. You saw the old tapes. Instead of name dropping AEW, he was just saying inflammatory stuff. What did you expect? I hate that I laughed. I popped. Because all I kept hearing was bada bing, bada boom, let's go. So I'm like, damn, I don't want to give this a chance. I want to be 10 toes down with everyone else and hate it. But much like my other problematic phrase, as soon as we turn off the lights, I'm doing this. I'm watching.
You rubbernecking all this thing.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm fake. The Enzo thing popped me. It did. I
cannot believe you.
Listen, I'm just being honest, okay? All right? Listen, somebody said he's corny. I know.
You know the worst part of all this is that there was let's pull the curtain back just a tiny bit. Last week he made reference to a Madison Square Garden incident. Now, some people will know what that is. Others will not. I don't know. Chris, I don't know if you know what this MSG incident was.
I do, because that was one of the first times I had saw him. And I was like, who is this man? And why is he so funny? And my little brother said, there's a fine line between funny and what you want to calm your core forever.
Hold on. What do you think this Madison Square Garden incident is?
Are you talking about the one where he dressed up and had his little hat on with the wig?
No.
Are we talking about something else?
No, you're talking about the Ring of Honor New Japan show in
2020. Oh, where they tried to do that same thing and they were like, knock that off. No one's here for that. We're not featured.
Where they tried to kayfabe the talent about them showing up. He tried to bring that up in his little tape promo last week. And for those of us who know, they're like, why are you bringing this up? This is from 2019. And then I just wanted people to remember who the booker was for Ring of Honor at that time.
My face hurts.
His name was Delirious. Delirious is currently the booker at TNA. So just keep that in mind as you watch Enzo Amore make his way through this, whatever it is.
Yo.
Yeah, what a night that was. Enzo shows up with Cass and Ring of Honor, New Japan, and MSG, and Bret Hart gets tackled by a fan during the Hall of Fame speech down the road in Brooklyn.
Listen, guys, I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is, on the one hand, I feel like I should be upset, but on the other hand, this is peak TNA. So I choose to be sports entertained. Because, like, honestly, this is at least we get to see Zilla back too with TNA.
Zilla's great.
TNA, let's go.
He's gonna be the shit out of people. It's fine. Like Zilla's gonna do what Zilla does.
You know what? I'm gonna double down for a second. If I have to sit through blood matches, I'm allowed to have one corny wrestler that I like. Okay, I don't care.
It's probably, I don't know. Again, I'd rather Josh Bishop. Give me Josh Bishop versus Steve Maclin if you're gonna do it. If you're not gonna give me Jake something who deserves it, give me Josh Bishop. Let them beat the crap out of each other.
I mean, you can also think about it like this. Let's say you are an Enzo hater. You get to see him beat up by Steve Maclin. Got to think about it. You got to use your brain.
I don't trust the TNA brain trust to let that happen.
Nah, don't do that. That's not funny. That's actual workplace harassment if you do that to Steve Maclin. Who this headache medicine is kicking it? I'm about to be allowed. Let's go.
What's very funny about this message, which, by the way, audio fans, I'm not bringing it up. I'm not gonna read it out loud. I'm leaving it up for video to read. This is similar to a conversation that I legitimately had with Sean this afternoon. Well, there was no contract involved. There was certainly like a huh and a bunch of crying emojis between both of us. So, yeah, we shall see, friends.
Joel keeps threatening retirement, but don't do that. Because I'll listen, at this rate, I'll walk to Canada and I'll overstay my welcome. You better stop.
Right, I'll give you 3 months.
Please don't. Actually,
that conversation, by the way, came about because Sean asked me if I had any questions for Mike Santana. Check out that interview. It drops on Friday. Friday's tomorrow, I guess, because today is Thursday. My brain is all messed up. I've been up since 5:30 this morning. Cardona doesn't do a thing against Jake Painter, gets his ass kicked because he calls out Dark State before the match. And then after the lockup, the lights go down and Dark State comes out. Painter tries to help, gets beat up by Dark State. Myers makes a save. JDC and Edwards out next. And I was like, okay, well, this is a match now, but why isn't it a hardcore match? But here it is. We already talked about it. Do you have anything to add to this one?
No, I will respect Matt Cardona always being ready. And the lights did go down and they beat his butt.
Is he always ready or is he just the complete? Because at this point, he's everything.
I mean, if Chelsea Green was terrorizing you every day, I would always be ready too. So completely always ready.
I'm thinking of his theme song. Anyway, let's move on. The Hardys got a promo. This was a very promo heavy episode of TNA. I should have seen this coming. They held the tag titles across 4 decades. They say it's important to them to be on top of their game and not to be shells of themselves. And then they realize, oh my God, we've been big old losers since losing the tag titles, including a loss to AJ Francis, which I thought was funny and the crowd did too. They tease that if they don't win the titles, then the Hardy Party might have to come to an end. And then out comes Leon Slater. And Leon spent weeks getting big up by the Hardys. So now he was returning the favor, gave them the pep talk. And then First Class comes out, they run down Pittsburgh and they get the football heat. They say they're not worried about the Hardys. They're better brother tag teams. And out come the Nemeths. Nemeths say their Cleveland sucks chant. And Nick Nemeth is just like, we're the champs. And like, for some reason that shut the crowd up. Don't know how, don't know why, but it did. And then Ryan's like, well, we've been in more ladder matches than anyone else. And Hannafin's like, you've never been in one, which was hilarious. And then the Rascals come out. Everyone brawls. Hardys get a ladder. They stand tall. This is a match that's happening. There are 4 teams, 1 ladder, probably more. What did you think of this whole Hardys can't cut it promo?
Not the Hardy Party coming to an end. Also, Leon Hardy came out there and said, knock that off. Not on my watch. I mean, I want them to win on Sunday, but I do think there'll be a First Class theft. So I'm not mad at it. And if this is word on the street, and I don't know what street, but word on the street that's made its way into my ears, so the Hardys are wrapping up in TNA anyway. And it might be WWE one more time. One time for the one time for the last ride in the sun. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll see. They are coming up to the end of their deal. It is, I think it's December. Or is it Bound for Glory? No, I think it's December. When did Matt show up?
I have to tell you that I have the memory of a goldfish. I don't remember back that far.
You're sure Matt showed up at like Rebellion after Moose retained. And then Jeff showed up and I think they matched up the contracts.
But you know what? Jeff showed up at like I think you're right. Jeff showed up when Matt came back, he was doing the broken Matt Hardy gimmick for a hot second. And Moose is definitely doing system stuff.
Yeah. But then they re-signed at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, the point is they're through November 2025. I think that's what it is. At least the end of 2025.
I respect it.
We'll see where they end up. I hate that we're doing the whole I can't see your real name on these. I can only see handles. Can't see names anymore.
I love dogs.
I love dogs. And I should know who this is because I've seen this avatar before and it looks familiar. Anyway, they say, I'm excited for AJ versus Macklin. I wouldn't put my money on AJ Styles versus Steve Macklin.
AJ Francis, maybe.
I can tell you Steve Macklin would love it. But
real quick. Before we move forward, I don't know if we forgot or we didn't write it down, but that Mike Santana video package,
Very good.
His Bro, that wrecked me. I shed a fugly tear. I have to give props to the TNA video package crew and just Santana being so vulnerable this entire time. If Santana doesn't win on Sunday, I'll be Trick Williams. Let's talk about it, because I'll be very upset. I don't know who I got to talk to. Mr. Silva, I want to talk.
Okay? Tommy, we need to have a talk once again. We talked earlier about Enzo. I know we had a good chat. Glad you listened to us. Maybe you haven't. We need to talk about this main event.
Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
You know who should win. I understand it's a triple threat. You should have made it a singles match for the TNA World Title. It should have just been Trick versus Mike Santana. Should have been that way. Not Joe Hendry. You know what's happening with Joe.
Nah, man, stop it. You gotta put them butts in seats, Joel. Stop it.
You know what it's like. You know what it's like, Tommy. You graduated high school, and when you got to the end of your high school run, you had what's called senioritis. Where you knew you were going to bigger, better things. You were going to university. You were leaving this place, blowing this pop stand. It was over.
Y'all graduated already. It's June 13th. I don't care.
That's what Joe's doing. Come on, man. We got to mid-year. He knew he was graduating. Got his acceptance letter. It's in the mail. He's accepted. He knows where he's going. The year is over. He could bomb the rest of the year, but he's still got that acceptance. But he's not going to bomb it. He's going to put in just the right amount of work. So I get it. You put Joe Hendry in the match, but he shouldn't have. Should have put it to Mike Santana. Should have been Trick Williams one-on-one for the TNA title. But here we are. We are dealt the hands that God gives us.
I don't agree with that. Okay. I think Joe Hendry is right where he needs to be. Listen, that last part is Joel. The first part, okay. The last part is Joel, Mr. Dreamer. Can I call you Mr. Dreamer, Mr. Slumber? Can I call you that?
You know what to do. It's not even about, listen, I wouldn't mind having Thursdays off from now on. I really wouldn't mind it. I really, really wouldn't mind having Thursday nights to myself.
That's crazy. You find a new co-host?
I do enough. I do in the weeds and I watch everything. I don't need to watch everything, Cresta. I can take a break. I can watch nothing on Thursdays. I can tell people I watch Ring of Honor and then just make it up because that's what most people who watch Ring of Honor do. That's what the bookers at Ring of Honor do.
They're going to get you. Kate, Reg, and SP3.
Kate and Reg, we're still doing a post show. SP3, who's still doing a post show for Ring of Honor, right? Yeah, the one time, once a year, maybe two times a year. Come on, Kate and Reg. It doesn't exist.
Okay, but think about me. I gotta find a whole new co-host. SP3 is out on the other side of the plane. He gonna be up till 3 a.m. You gonna do that to SP3?
He'll stay up for you. Absolutely. Money is money.
That's true. You know what? You should convince Sean to do it.
This is his like only day off if he's lucky. You're funny.
Well, that's what you get for covering NXT.
tell you what. I ain't covering NXT. You should get Pulaski to do it with you. That'd be hilarious. You'll be at Slammiversary on Sunday. While you're at Slammiversary, find a new co-host.
I'm gonna pop in live. Or as soon as it's over, and ask Jensen.
Jensen's busy. I'm sorry.
Jensen's always busy. That's why he shows up four times a year.
That's right. Jensen, he knows his lane. He does one show on Overbooked. Shout out to the Spotlight Thursday 6:30 p.m. Eastern. They had QT Marshall on the show this week, by the way. Go check that out. And on top of that, he does the Weekender podcast, Fightful Select. Go to FightfulSelect.com to listen to that every week. And he watches a lot of wrestling. Don't get me wrong. I don't think I can get him to give you a Thursday night.
Oh, no, I was beaming about that. Jensen's going to politely laugh on screen as soon as the cameras go off. Tell Crest I'm not doing that.
That Cresta, hell no.
She's so funny. You should take up comedy, Cresta. You're a clown.
Listen, there are plenty of people who will DM you and be like, if you're being serious, I'd love to do this post show. I'd love TNA. I have all my life. And you can just be like, yeah, sure.
I don't like everybody. And no, you're not going to come on here and besmirch the goodwill that we've built up with our tens of fans, okay? Don't do that.
Got the more. Crest the star.
Can you imagine? Yo, Scott. Joel's dad. Come home, baby. Come on home, baby.
I think we got it. When I go, he's taking over.
Listen, we're memeing, but if somehow the spaghetti monsters and Buddha, Allah, and Jesus high five and it happens, you guys are going to be gooped.
Anyway, all this to say, if Santana loses on Sunday, I'm losing my shit and I'm going home.
I don't know. I think I might lose my shit too. I think if Santana loses, I might just log on and be like this on the camera, like, and then just leave.
If they're not the last match on the card, y'all know what's going on. It'll be just like Joe Hendry at Bound for Glory when he wasn't the main event.
And then people wonder why he's leaving. Come on.
Senioritis is truly kicked in. Santana gets the pin. He and Joe Hendry team up to defeat Kazarian and Trick Williams, the TNA world champion. Trick kit that looked really good on Santana at one point because those two tall boys know how to get their legs up. That was good stuff. Towards the end, Hendry gloats at Santana after he hits a fallaway slam on Trick, and then Santana tags himself in blindly, spin the block on Kazarian, gets the win, and then they stare at each other because there's a pay-per-view on Sunday, but the people in the arena didn't know at the time that it was coming up, and that was the last match before they go home. So it was just kind of awkward for them, but it was makes sense for us. And then you want to talk about, we'll do the box promo afterwards. So why don't you talk about the main event, the tag match, what you thought?
I mean, again, there wasn't too much wrestling on this show, and this match was exactly what it was. Yeah, these two guys, can they coexist? The answer is not really. Bickering before the match, even started who's going to start the match, and then bickering at the end. I will say Santana staring a dagger through my boy Joe Hendry. All right, Santana, not too much on my boy Joe. Okay, not too much on my boy Joe. I understand. I'm rooting for Santana too, but I am okay if Joe Hendry wins on Sunday. Joe Pearl is not. I am okay with that because I believe in Joe Hendry, but I understand that it's Mike Santana's time right now. So this was fine. Frankie Kazarian, like TNA also has the opportunity to do the funniest, most WWE TNA thing ever and have AJ Francis, Frankie Kazarian or somebody interfere, and you now you have a match that we didn't tell you about because you won a cup back in 87 and on PCO's dead grave you did a sacrifice of a chicken, and now like I could see that happening because that's whatever, But, you know, I think Mike Santana should win, and this match proved it. Because staring a hole through Joe Hendry was diabolical.
And then the Marvel ending. They opened the box. They did the tease of the box with, like, when they did the rebrand. Remember, everyone goes out into the forest, and they dig out the box, and they open the box. Well, the box shook back. I don't know. Where have they been lugging that box with them from town to town? Is that why they were able to get the footage?
That's how they keep their all their secrets. It's their Horcrux.
That's right. I don't know how to feel about this. Anyway, the box breaks open, and it's the dusty, musty P1 gear. I'm pretty sure AJ's worn that gear. Anyway, it's just musty and dusty. And then he blows it off. They didn't show him on it, but of course, it's heavily implied that there will be an AJ Styles appearance at Slammiversary. To what degree, nobody knows. There have been talks about whether or not he would be involved in the main event. It doesn't seem that way, but it could change. And there's also talk of other involvement from NXT and TNA talent. So, well, TNA is there. So other NXT talent coming out and being a part of Slammiversary.
I'm going to temper my expectations. Because for a hot minute when you said he could maybe be involved in the main event, I'm like, but oh my God, that would be messy. But oh my God. And then I remember the last time AJ Styles was on TNA. Remember when they paid for that cameo?
No. That was the Rock. No, that was, hold on. They didn't pay for a cameo, but that was for something else. They had
it was for their anniversary or something.
Yeah, the 20th anniversary. Yeah. He did an actual like sit down proper thing.
It looked like a kid.
No. That one was fine. They like set up a proper camera and like he sat down on a chair. That I remember. There was another one where they actually did buy a cameo, and it was from someone who actually like some actor, and they did it for a bunch, and they thought they were going to get away with it, but it had the cameo logo. Right.
It was for somebody talking crap about somebody else. And I want to say it was for Joe Henry or something like that, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe I'm confusing the two. Either way, I don't know what we do here, pal. Like I don't know. AJ Styles coming back, I'm thinking about banger after banger, and you're going to get a good match out of who, and the line probably starts outside the door. I'm thinking off the top of my head, if Trey Miguel gets cleared soon, I would love to see Trey Miguel versus AJ Styles at the top of my list, period.
Trey's already, he's doing the ladder match, and then he's going to go get his hernia operated on. He's already said that.
Oh, I'm saying, I saw Myron Reed running out. I'm like, Myron being
They wanted to get Casey out of there too because of his knee. They didn't want to chance it for the man. That's why they got Myron and Casey smooth up out of there.
I respect it.
Yeah, you want to protect this ladder match. It's a big match for them. It's the car crash match that you and I talked about. They had to have this at Slammiversary. I'm also not necessarily fully committed to AJ wrestling on the show. There's a possibility that this is the announcement that he's going into the TNA Hall of Fame, and that's it.
That would be hilarious. And listen, you can't show the man's gear, blow off the dust, and they'd be like, hey, guys, I'm going into the Hall of Fame.
They might just do a schmozzy segment. Who knows? Someone saying special guest referee. Like, I don't even know if he's going to be part of the main event. That's the other thing.
Runs down to.
It could easily be that it's going to be Hometown Man and Eric Young, and then he comes down because he and EY are in it together since the beginning, and Dean has been around for a long time too. They can easily just do he saves Hometown Man.
I think that would be the most painless angle. Eric Young has been acting up for no reason.
Yep.
Hey, listen. But there's been a lot of things over the past week with wrestling. I'm just like, you know what? Why not? I'll take that. As long as you put the belt on Santana or a lovely second alternate Joe Hendry. Why not? If this gets AJ Styles on TNA programming so I can watch him give good matches on the TNA scale for the time that I miss, why not? Why not? As long as you do the right thing, like Spike Lee said at the end. Why not?
It's going to save Hometown Man and have a match against EY. And maybe Kazarian will get involved too.
You know TNA is great. That, you know what? That's a very TNA. AJ Styles making Russell Kazarian and Hometown Man. Heck, the new talent that we got. Heck, when Steve Backlund.
Who needs to put over the new talent? God forbid. We're not doing that. Why would we do that? Couple of super chats from I Love Dogs. It says, I'm pretty sure I thought it was pretty obvious that match was happening. I think he's going back to the Macklin match that you were pitching, Macklin versus AJ. Because again, I know Macklin was like, he wants that match. I don't think you're going to get that match. I would love to see it.
I think I Love Dogs to talk about Macklin versus Enzo, unless.
I'll let Dogs tell us what they thought. And also sending super chats suck because this autocorrect sucks. Sorry, I had to rant about it. Well, we appreciate you, and we appreciate that you're sending in super chats. It's always, always helpful to us, and we do appreciate it. Yeah, it's just, he just shows up to help Hometown Man. That's all it's going to be.
Honestly.
Fights off the Northern Armory. AJ versus Macklin is saying, yeah, I don't know.
Hometown Man and walks through the true forbidden door into the undead realm, and we never see him again.
Unless something absolutely incredible changed for Macklin, I don't think he's getting the AJ match. I don't think so.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to hold you, because if anything I've said, Macklin's looks could be a little better, right? But Macklin versus AJ Styles. That could feed families. That could really feed families. And I personally, I'm going to be at Slammiversary this Sunday. If I got to see AJ Styles wrestle somebody and give Macklin his flowers, somebody like Macklin who's been holding it down when y'all were looking at Joe Hendry doing stuff, Macklin's been there week in, week out. I respect it. Give it to him. But if you're not going to give it to him, yo, put him in an Ultimate X match. I don't care who. Leon Slater, stop playing with me.
They haven't built it. That's the other thing too with the AJ. The AJ thing is like he's showing up for a night. He and presumably to do a Hall of Fame induction after this. That's what I would be doing. That is enough. It's an appearance. That's why I'm like, it's so low on the importance card that like you have other things planned. Him going for a title, suddenly showing up and winning is like, can't do that on a one-time appearance. You can't.
I mean, you could.
No, they don't.
If you're brave.
No. You know better. You know better with this company. They ain't going to do it. They do it? Sure. I'll take Thursdays off from now on.
Listen, if AJ Styles came in, Steve Macklin and AJ Styles had a match randomly for the title. You set it up at the beginning of the night, and then you have Dark Side or somebody interfere. Now Steve Macklin's in a program with AJ Styles, for better or for worse. I don't hate it.
Tell you what. I will make an amendment to my Slammiversary. I don't know how to put it. My retirement angle. If Santana loses, I'm leaving. However, if AJ Styles comes out and he ends up doing an angle with EY and Hometown Man, I'll stick around.
Yo, that's literally the camel that will break your back, because you're like, damn, I can't take this Hometown Man thing. And then AJ Styles comes back with the Hometown Man. He's like, okay, maybe
No. I didn't say I'd do it because I like it. I said I'd do it just to prove a point. The point being, this company doesn't give a shit. This company's doing it for the pop, and the pop right now goes to Hometown Man and AJ Styles. They don't care. They're happy to have AJ in the room. They don't care what he does as long as he hits a phenomenal forearm, gets the music, and people hear the song. That's all that they want. He ain't going for a title. He's doing an Intercontinental Championship match against Dominic Mysterio at SummerSlam. Like this is a side quest, and the quest ain't that much. He's doing it for $50. That's what this is.
Listen, they've been throwing it in a circle in a seance to get AJ Styles since I've been watching this with you and before, for the few times, mentioning him all up in the videos and everything. So listen, I respect that you said that.
Woman, I told you all I wanted was for him to get inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. That's all people wanted. That's all I've wanted.
TNA for me is a wrestling gremlin. Like, y'all could get it together, but you choose to be a gremlin. So at this point, if we're really keeping it funky, if we're super keeping it funky, AJ Styles is going to show up and AJ Francis is going to say something. That's what's really going to happen.
I want to add to my point too. If you're watching WWE right now, what's going on with AJ Styles? What's he doing with Dominic? What is his story right now?
He was praying in the back to fight him. I saw his back down.
It's comedy bits. And one of the funniest comedy bits that he pulled was the one that I keep joking about on In the Weeds, where Dominic's is like, yeah, take out your reading glasses and read them. And instead of getting angry, AJ's like, get out my glasses. Get out my glasses. Okay, get out my glasses. Okay. And he pulls out his freaking glasses and he puts them on. He's like, okay, that's a doctor's note. Like, he's playing comedy guy right now.
What was that country accent, Joel?
AJ Styles. And that's why he's gonna do a stupid hometown man bit. That's why.
Listen, why not?
And if it happens and Mike Santana doesn't win, I will stick around.
Listen, why not? Why not? Why not? Do I want AJ Styles to get into a serious program? Sure, but who? Certainly not Moose. Storyline wise, certainly not the system. So who does that leave? Mike Santana? Certainly not. Certainly not. He's just going to be champion. Who does that leave? I'm sorry. Who does that leave? Joe Hendry? Come on, come on. Well, maybe Joe Hendry. But Joe Hendry, listen, he won't foot out the door. He's about to go to college, okay? One step at a time. Someone says Stileshausen. If Danhausen showed up for the memes, I would spontaneously combust. Joel Pearl would quit this, and y'all would need two new hosts. Why not, man? Joel Pearl? Let me ask you, why not? Why not have him fight hometown, man? Why not?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what he's going to do. He's going to do a thing with hometown man.
Do you think they announce hometown man from Long Island or just from New York City?
Oh, they'll just say New York. Maybe they'll do Long Island. Maybe they will.
Because I was like, they should do it from the Bronx. Now, they're going to build Santana from the Bronx. You can't have two guys on the Bronx.
Oh, my God. Has he beaten the AJ Styles? Yeah, he beat Moose. Oh, no, Moose was about to beat AJ Styles' record. Okay, so here's the only reason why I'd give him the Moose thing. Although, I don't think that's right. I'm looking at title reigns and how long, and I'm pretty sure Moose is closer to third than 13th in terms of names or duration of reign. Hold on, let me get this right. Hold on.
Do that, and I'll explain my Moose point a little bit further. I'm just thinking like how the system's on TV every week, and Moose is a dominant player. And after I'm surmising, and if I'm taking an educated guess here, I think Moose is going to drop it to Leon Slater. So Moose is going to need something to do that's not going to involve a title. And if they're pushing him like they were pushing PCO for a hot minute, why not have it AJ Styles? Like, whether you like Moose or not, he's a safe worker. You know, he's not going to quote unquote damage the product. So, you know, him versus AJ Styles. Moose is wild athletic too. So I don't know about how those promos are going to be. I think it's going to be comedy for me. I would laugh, but the matches would be great. I just don't want to see AJ Styles getting ganged up on by the system. But in my mind, I would like to believe that this TNA partnership is not just with NXT. Because if you bring in AJ Styles, you know, have the Judgment Day come there and ruin it. And then old girl be like, do you want to know something? Or Roxanne Perez versus Lish. I would laugh. I know you're going to be like, Cresta, shut up. But I would laugh. I would say, let it happen. I say, let it happen.
So the only thing I can see other than what I'm talking about with AJ, that they want to do something serious, they could do AJ confronts Moose because Moose retains the X Division Championship.
Okay.
And he wants to take the title before, you know, Moose gets the longest reigning ever because that's what he thinks he's going to get. That's the only way I can see it happening. But again, I think he's just going to do a thing with EY and hometown man.
He's a hometown man.
Run down this card so I can go to bed. Slammiversary countdown, the Knockouts tag titles, because there's a countdown, so there has to be a Knockouts tag title match on the card. The Elegance is defend against the Inspiration with two eyes. Inspiration new chance, or the Elegance is going to win?
Why not? That's my answer. Why not? Why not?
I could see the Elegance is eking this out.
I can't too, because they have a third and a fourth man. You got Iceman and you got M by Elegance now too. The Inspiration gonna literally have to bring in it was the Inspiration and who else? Madison Rain and Tennille Dashwood were the what?
Wait, Tennille?
Not Tennille. Oh,
I'm thinking about Tennille and the Firefighter. Hold on. You're thinking about Angelina Love.
Yes. And who were they called? Because the Inspiration was there at the same time they were called something else.
Oh, the Beautiful People. But they were at the same time.
No.
I'm thinking about Tennille and Taylor Wilde.
It was definitely Madison Rain and somebody else.
You're talking about The Influence?
Yes, The Influence and the Inspiration were there. And Tennille was with Caleb with a K.
God, I miss Caleb Conley.
Yes, so they're going to have to get, like, the Influence or something, because these girls are going to cheat. That's what I said, why not? Like, they're going to cheat. The whole time they've been cheating.
I feel like the Elegance is they're going to win by some weird thing, and then they're just going to redo the match on the live TNA Impact on Thursday, and that's when the Inspiration is going to win the tag titles.
Why not?
Why not? System and Matt Cardona team up to take on Dark State. I feel like Dark State's going to get the win over this one. What do you think?
I agree, because I think Myers is going to feel bad, but the System is going to ditch Cardona to take that ass whooping.
The WrestleMania rematch on a TNA card. Ali takes on Cedric Alexander.
We the fans win. But I have to tell you, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't think that match is going to end clean. I think Ali does get the win here. I think Cedric might win later on at the TNA Live. But we win here, so why not as well? We're not derogatory.
I think Mustafa Ali wins, and that's it for Cedric Alexander and TNA for forever, really. I think he moves on after this.
I don't know. I want to say that Cedric gets maybe one win. Maybe they trade, you know, but Cedric is not long for the TNA world.
No, he's got other things to do. More important things to do.
Yeah.
And what else? We got Tessa Blanchard and Indy Hartwell.
Indy wrestling.
I would very much like Indy to win. If Tessa wins, Masha is going to be facing Tessa again. It really feels like whoever wins between Tessa and Indy will be facing Masha Slamovich.
Let's do it. Indy wrestling.
I'm fine with Indy and Masha, but next up is Masha Slamovich and JC Jane, title for title, the Knockouts title, the NXT women's title. They're both on the line. If JC wins, she's got both. If Masha wins, she gets both. This is a weird one, and I want to throw another kind of caveat in here. You now have to deal with Jordynne Grace, Blake Monroe, and the Ash by Elegance, reminding us that she's got a title match. So you've got a few people who can come in, run in, and cause some havoc in this whole storyline. So who do you think walks out?
Well, in the graphic, they did show Lei Ying Li and Zaya Brookside.
So, and you're going to get influence there, too.
I mean, like, I think, if Masha doesn't win, there are severe shenanigans to the point where they can't call the match and say, no, the match is called off. Ding, ding, ding. And then Santino or Ava or Ariana Grace come out and say, no, this can't stand. Something's like this. It's either Masha wins or this doesn't end clean and it doesn't end, period. So if it doesn't end, period, I could see Jason be like, well, I put my title on the line. It's not my fault. And Masha's like, I'm not afraid. And then we do it again. But JC loses that time. So you don't have to trade titles because you're a coward. So
I think you can finish this match. I think that Masha could win, or actually really either of them could win and then drop the title on Thursday. That's really what I've been thinking, because there's a lot of people saying a DQ finish and we just schmoss. I think they'd rather give you a winner and then just maybe make it a quick turnaround. And then by Thursday, everything's back to normal.
I mean, I personally, and I'm not a booker, but I feel like that cheapens both women's divisions if you're just going to turn it around that next Thursday, Tuesday. Give it a month.
Not if you got a good story behind it. I don't think that losing a title weakens anybody. I think if there's a good story behind it, that you could have people lose a week later.
I mean, not when you're putting it over as you'd be the first to promotional champ, whatever. I'm like, at least give her a month.
No, why not? They've got other people who are going after these women. You've got two divisions who can muck things up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you give, let's say, for all intents and purposes, you give Masha a month with both titles, Blake Monroe screws her out of an NXT thing or whatever it is. That's how you get her up off of it. Maybe have a triple threat between her and Grace or Masha, whatever it is. But I don't know. I think even on the adverse, if JC does win it as well, I would let her have it for a month. If you're putting it over as these guys are historic, let them do it.
Yeah, pile driver saying they created a reason to hot potato a title. I don't think that anyone loses credibility in a division because of that.
I don't like these justifications. I'm going with Masha Samovich locking those lyrics. Final answer.
I'm going to remain undecided, and I'll give you my thoughts tomorrow when I do the True Heel Heat one.
I'll see you there, pal.
Are you doing predictions too?
I'll be right there. We're right along with you at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Nobody told me you were doing this too. Why are we doing this? This is a worthless exercise.
Gotcha, bit.
Why didn't he tell me that you were in on this? This seems awful. Now gotcha. I'm just going to cancel.
2 days of Cresta Joe Pearl's like, hell. You sound like, you know who you sound like right now?
I got a heart out tomorrow. I didn't think we were going to do that. It's going to turn into a 2-hour something.
Plus, you sound like Tony Schiavone, and I'm Don Callis, and I'm coming down to the booth.
Ruining it. and whatever. I'll give my answers tomorrow. Tag team ladder match, first class, Nemeths, Hardys, and Rascals.
The Nemeths are, I think, the first class steal this. I think there's a first class highway robbery here. I think AJ Francis does some sneaky carry the one stuff. Because honestly, at this point, if we were to talk about the system and Don Callis being on TV every other week, AJ Francis and First Class is on TV every other week. So I got to give credit where credit is due. The guy is healing it up and I don't like it. Compliment. So
for those who are saying True Heel Heat, it's going to go longer than 2 hours. Not when I do the show, damn it. I give them 90 minutes of my time and that's as good as they get from me.
Me and SP3 just be yapping. Joel Pearl is the teacher and me and SP3 are the kids.
I got chat telling me no show it. I should just no show it. So like, you already got someone else. What do you care about me? I don't need to be here.
Can you imagine? Could you believe?
I'm of the belief the first class could also be winning this. Or you can have the Nemeths win. Honestly, I wouldn't mind if the Nemeths win and retain, because I'd rather see them doing this than literally anything else title related in TNA.
You don't want to see my big brother go for the interstate Macless title.
The international title.
I didn't know what inter it was.
Well, it's the one that AEW got rid of. So now they can have a clear path to calling it the international title.
Let's go. International title, let's go.
Moose and Leon Slater, X Division Championship. To me, this is Leon Slater's crowning moment. This is it. Don't mess this up.
Crown Leon Hardy. He's had an incredible 6 months. Almost a year. So crown Leon Hardy. Make it happen. Listen, amazing Red Bull set, a manly tear. Do it.
Triple threat for the TNA title, Santana, Hendry, and Trick. Once again, if Santana does not win, I will be done. Over. No more TNA post shows for me. I'll be done covering TNA. The only caveat, the only thing that will bring me back, the golden ticket, if you will, is if AJ Styles has some sort of interaction with the hometown man at Slammiversary. I think Trick wins. That's why I'm giving you this golden ticket.
I'm going to be real with you. I've been having that feeling too, and I don't like it. It makes my balls burn. My heart says Joe Hendry, but I also have eyes and I've been watching the product. I agree in the sense of like Leon Slater. If you don't put this on Mike Santana, first of all, that'd be a very TNA thing to do. Let me start there. That'd be a very TNA thing to do. But second of all, after those video packages, especially after the one this week, how the one with his dad's voice on it, that wrecked me. If you don't put it on this man, TNA, well, yo, where, what are we doing here?
Okay? Bear in mind, your favorite, you're the one you think is Mr. Savior. He's the guy. The guy that you think is the guy still. They spent three major shows not giving it to you. Brought in John Bradshaw Layfield.
Brother!
To do nothing. And they thought that they were delaying the gratification. So much so that by the time they got there, we were like, all right, cool. It happened. So that's why I don't know how I feel right now, other than not great. They love to think this is taking you for a ride. You might not even have to worry about seeing the chaos. The chaos might just be the trick wins and retains, and we're just back to it.
That could be it too. Or it could be now. Remember how we say, Joe Hendry needs to get serious. Joe Hendry needs to get serious. Now you want to get serious? And you want to get serious on Mike Santana? Now is not the time, Joseph. Joseph, you better hit. You better hit Trick Williams, Joseph. Yeah.
They're going to do it. They're going to bring JBL out again.
Yo, bro. I would need
you. You know what? I'm going to make an amendment to my amendment. They're going to show this video again, right? Where they show it's the P1 vest and everything. Someone's going to pick it up out of there. And you know who's going to be wearing it? Hometown Man's going to be wearing the phenomenal gear.
I'm about to hang up on you. Because honestly, I also thought you were going to say it was John Bradshaw Layfield wearing it and inserting himself in the triple threat.
That would be equally funny.
Man, I think the correct choice here is Mike Santana. My heart says Joe Hendry. The TNA choice is Trick Williams. And based off of what I've seen before, like you said, Joe Hendry should have been had it. But y'all waited three whole pay-per-views and it was like, oh, y'all still asking about this guy? Okay, here, I guess. And now you're going to lose because JBL, and then we're never going to explain it.
Yep. Patrick Moore asking, which match will be the sleeper match of the night? Love y'all. We appreciate you very much. Do you have a sleeper match of the night on your list?
I'm trying to think of who's on the card like we just ran down. Because the match of the night, I think anything that has involved with Mike Santana, period.
I think that Ali and Cedric is going to be one that people are very much looking forward to.
But that's not a sleeper.
I'm telling you, those are what people are looking forward to. I think a match that people are not as directly invested in what it could be is the X Division title match. I think they know Leon Slater is going to do it. I don't think that they fully understand what Moose is capable of, especially when he's doing something big for the brand and for the cause and to put over a guy like Slater. I think that that's a match that is worth paying attention to. It might be a sleeper match of the night. Whenever, again, I've talked about this, when Moose goes up against like a certain build of person, he ends up having killer matches with them. And Leon Slater is that built. Yeah. That's all lanky, but still athletic. That guy always performs well with Moose.
I have a hard time with questions like that, especially when it comes to TNA, because like for the most part, it is very rare that TNA in ring is bad. Like straight up, the stories maybe, but like the in-ring always delivers. Even I complain the most about PCO and Eddie Edward matches. I'm like, I don't want to see this blood. This is going to be gross. And then I get on the post show like, Joel, why did I like this match? I hate that I like this match. The in-ring is always going to be good. So I don't know I would be surprised. I would be surprised if the Knockouts tag match is a lot more storyline driven and fun than I expected to be, because my expectations are like a one. So anything over a one is a glorious day. So if they actually do something and it's like, it's crazy, I'd be pleasantly surprised. But It's because I watched the product. I expect Moose and Slater to be fantastic. I can't wait for Leon, not Leon Slater, for Ali and Cedric to go at it. And we're going to eat that night. I can't wait to see what happens with Macklin. The idea of Macklin facing Zillafat 2, from whence he came till now, Macklin, you better beat that man's butt. You better get him. I don't know if that's going to happen, but like, that's going to be a really good match. And even that match, I could say, yo, Jake, something come out like, nah, no more outsiders. Heck, this guy. Cause, and I don't know, you know, so my answer to that is the Knockouts Championship.
You just know that Jake something is going to come out and save Macklin after he gets beat down by,
oh brother,
Zilla, Bishop, and Enzo.
Oh brother. And I don't know who the third man is going to be. Who's going to be the third man, Hogan? I don't know who the third man is going to be.
Sammy Callahan. Or actually, it might be Mance. It might be Mance Warner.
We're united by derangedness.
Yeah, we hate these guys. It'll be this stupid because this is their NWO. This is their NWO attempt.
I don't know, man. Like, okay, so I haven't seen Enzo wrestle in a very long time. Probably only from stuff back in the day. Who Enzo going to wrestle on that side? Certainly not. Mancer. Macklin and Sammy Callahan. Wait, and Jake something who looks like an isosceles triangle. That Jake something. I don't think
something in Bishop is a very interesting matchup.
Yes,
you want to see those two. I think Macklin and Bishop is another. Yes. One Zilla against those two gentlemen as well. Yes. Is another one. Enzo and his left hand. I don't care.
Listen, I'm willing to be proven wrong. I love being proven wrong about professional wrestling because it's never that deep. And to me, I'm just learning. If he could go and he's different, I'm with it. Yeah, he's my problematic fave. But if he's not, this is TNA, baby. Put that man in a plunder match, put him in a monster's ball and call it a day. Like, we know how to make that work over here in TNA. I've seen worse. Okay, come on. Put that man in a six-man tag with the system and
well, speaking of calling it a day, we're done. Let's go. Cresta is going to be at Slammiversary this Sunday on location, getting all the good content for us. So as a result, myself and Steven Jensen will be live on Sunday doing your TNA Slammiversary. That's the show, post show. It's not their biggest show of the year. Don't let them fool you. Bound for Glory is the biggest show of the year. Slammiversary is their SummerSlam. That's what it is. Don't forget. Cresta Star, what you got going on other than that stuff?
Let's make it quick so Joel can get to the sleeps. Tomorrow, 2 p.m., myself, Joel Pearl, maybe he might call out. We're going to be on True Hill Heat talking all things that's going on with TNA Slammiversary this weekend. Saturday, myself, Rick, and Iridian will be going over all things AEW Collision. There's also still the fallout of All In, getting ready for All Out and Forbidden Door. Sunday, I will be at Slammiversary, so if you're there, don't be afraid to say hi. Don't make it weird. If you want a picture, I'll sign your baby and your forehead. Monday, I'm probably streaming on Twitch, but you can catch me on Twitch every Wednesday and Monday, watching wrestling with you. You can find me on all forms of social media. Anyway, you can type Cresta Star, except for Twitter X. I have to think about it. Jeez. Where it's Cresta the Star. You're fantastic. Thank you guys so much for watching. It's always fun when you're here with us talking about TNA. Joel Pearl, where can the people find you?
I'm in the weeds Monday through Friday over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbook. That's our morning show. Go check it out. That's 10 a.m. Eastern. We start. SB3 is there on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I'm there holding it down with Jeremy Lambert on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Cresta and I are here on Thursdays. Jensen and I are here this coming Sunday for TNA Slammiversary post show. I have so much coming up for you people. Hometown man, AJ Styles. That's your hang on. If Santana can't pull it off, then those two have to bring it home to keep me here. So we'll see. We'll see. Leave your comments on the way out. Leave your thumbs up as well. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, see you in the next one. Cheers.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aerohit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.